hear from people in our caucus who talk to sources high up who say, we need to make sure Sean Hannity's not talking about this, or Laura Ingraham, because conservatives, that's why they kept it secret.
Every day between now and November, the American people are going to know that the only reason the border is not secure is Donald Trump and his MAGA Republican friends.
No, we're talking about Section 3. And please don't change the hypothetical, okay? Please don't change the hypothetical. I know I like doing it too, but please don't do it.
The clock is ticking. T-minus 266 days till the presidential election.
Yeah, we're coming to your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song.
From coast to coast. From border to border. From sea to shining sea, Sean Hannity is on.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload.
All right, news roundup and information overload hour. Here's our toll-free number. It is 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. We've got every issue imaginable now that is headed to the U.S. Senate. It is headed to the House. And, you know, here we are, one continuing resolution after another. Republicans have the numbers, the strength, if they would just unite around two big items. One is insist on securing our borders, and that would mean bringing back the Trump policies that work. And number two, somebody's got to get a hold of this massive budget deficit that we have every year. Last year under Biden, $2 trillion additional dollars in debt that he's taken on. We can't afford to live this way. And if Republicans in the House and the Senate would unite around those two principles, I think there's a lot that can be accomplished. Anyway, it's always a privilege to have back Senator Marco Rubio. Well, we got a lot to talk about. Those are the two issues that I would say, with the limited majority that the Republicans have in the House, if they could unite around borders and the budget, those two issues, and then have a series of votes on all of the issues that Democrats don't want to vote on, I think that would be the best strategy for 24, but nobody listens to me.
Well, look, I think we've got these major issues that play out over time. The debt is one of them. It's just unsustainable. Everybody tells you that. Everybody knows it. No one, it's one of those things that we keep kicking the can down the road on, and we're not going to be able to do that much longer. You know, interestingly enough, China's kind of facing the same thing now, too, you know, but I think the most pressing issue before the country as an immediacy, if you went out there today and talked to people, are two things. Number one is life is just way more expensive. I don't care what Biden says. For everyday people, the stuff that we need, like the necessities, housing, food, you name it, way more expensive. And the other is we're being invaded. I mean, I don't know any other way to describe what is happening at our southern border. And what's frustrating about it is that it's not just being tolerated. It was encouraged. It was created. And it was our hope that as part of this debate on spending money on Ukraine, for example, that we would be able to do something real when it came to the border. The administration doesn't need a law to do that. And, you know, it doesn't look like that's going to happen, even though we keep fighting. It looks like we're, at least in the Senate, just sort of walked away from any chance of doing anything. And people don't understand it. They just don't understand how we could spend 3 or 4 days here on that and not deal with our own invasion.
You know, Senator, here's my biggest fear is on top of the overall cost. I mean, you're talking about billions of dollars. We're now approaching 10 million unvetted Joe Biden illegal immigrants because of the policies he's put in place. I mean, I listened to Mayorkas again this week and say, well, we're not responsible for any of this. We had nothing to do with any of this. I'm like, yeah, you did. Your policies actually made it worse. And it's frustrating to me. He actually said we don't bear responsibility for a broken system. Now, that's not what they've been telling us the last 3 years, Senator. You know this as well as anybody. They've been saying the border's closed and the border's secure. Now that it's a big issue in the country, now I guess this is what, an election year conversion? But I don't think it's going to fly with the American people. And it's something simple to do. We've proven we can do it.
Yeah, the reason why we have an illegal immigration deluge is an invasion. It has nothing to do with a broken system. It's because they're not applying the law. I mean, it is the first. Joe Biden is the first president in American history who made the decision to release, not detain, release virtually every single adult that comes here illegally across the border. It never happened before in our history. Not even Obama did that. One of the first on his first day in office, he put a 100-day moratorium on deportation. He told everybody throughout the campaign, and this president did within the first month, reversed all these Trump immigration policies, and that included not detaining people. Our immigration laws are not, I mean, it's a complex area of law, but when it comes to some aspects of it are not difficult to understand. The law is this. It details who's allowed to be in our country, and it says if you're here and you're not allowed to be here, you're supposed to be detained until you're removed. And then it has some very narrow exceptions that throughout our history have been applied in a case-by-case basis. He basically took the exception and made it the rule. And so they've released people, and so more people come. That's why this happened. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And now we're seeing a crime wave, and I think something worse is going to happen. You know, and then people are going
to... Well, I want you to freeze frame that, because I've been saying it. When we look at the number of people coming from China, Russia, tens of thousands, and the numbers from China seem to be growing exponentially. And then we've got people from Iran they're catching at the border, over 600 of them, and their satellite 500 plus from Syria that we know about. Then thousands from Egypt, home of the Muslim Brotherhood, thousands from Afghanistan, home of Al-Qaeda. And again, they're not being vetted. And I'm like, have we not opened ourselves up to the biggest national security threat in our lifetime?
I would tell, just without getting into any sort of things that are classified, I'll just ask everybody to use common sense. Do we not think that ISIS, Al-Qaeda, virtually every terrorist group Hezbollah, Hamas, do we not think that these people are not aware that the best, most effective, largest, biggest, most successful smuggling operation in the history of the world is operating right now off the southern border of the United States? Do we not think that they don't realize this? And they do realize it. And so it just common sense tells you that if they wanted to get terrorists inside the United States, and they do, they would use that. They would use that system. And they claim they vet them. Let me tell you, let's suppose they did vet them, okay? And there are at least 12 countries in the Western Hemisphere where if you have enough money, you can buy documents and passports with fake identities, claiming to be someone you're not. We know this. So I think we have to assume, unfortunately, and I say this, and I hope I'm wrong. I really do hope I'm wrong. It is just a matter of time before something really bad happens. And when it does, people are going to look at all these people up here in Congress and say, why didn't you do anything about it? And the answer is going to be, well, you know, we were here through Super Bowl weekend, and it was all about stuff that's happening around the world, which I do think we have to be involved in. Look, I think most Americans are not on Putin's side, but I think they ask themselves, how can we help another country with their own invasion and not help our own country with our invasion? We can't be strong for other countries if we're weak.
You did see these retired top FBI officials, counterintelligence officials. I mean, the best of the best. This is when the FBI certainly had a lot more respect in people's eyes than it does now. But they're all saying that this is an invasion of, you know, basically foreign male immigrants that are of, you know, a war age, that are, you know, potential threats to the country. And we don't know much about them. And I know you said over the weekend that, you know, you obviously want, you looked at this deal and the deal was awful. And I'm trying to think, what was Lankford and McConnell thinking by putting this deal, you know, even bringing this deal to the caucus? It was worse than what we originally thought it was. And they tried to sell us as if it was, you know, the best thing since sliced bread. It was not.
Well, immigration law can be tricky because one word in a sentence changes the whole meaning of the thing. And so one of the things they did is they created an asylum corps, basically thousands of new asylum officers, not judges, officers, who at the border would have the power to basically either grant an immediate permanent, immediate work permit and allow into the country those who showed up at the border, or they would actually even have the power to grant them asylum right there and then on the spot. And then I had an interview last week, or yesterday, with Jake Tapper on CNN, who's always been fair to me, but he says, well, but there's no pathway to citizenship in this bill. But that's what asylum is. Asylum, most people don't realize this. Asylum is a pathway to citizenship. If you are granted asylum, you are basically granted a green card. And in 5 years, and the time under asylum counts towards those 5 years, you are allowed to become a citizen and a voter, which is what Democrats want. When what they see is a chance for 1 or 2 million new voters that are going to, or more, that are going to give them credit for allowing them into the country. So that was in that bill, and the restriction on it was something called the Convention of Torture, which means against torture, meaning that you can only give it to people under that international treaty. Well, the way it's been defined is you can basically not deport anyone to any country where criminal gangs kidnap people, kill people, extort people, you know, harm people. That's like 105 countries in the world. That's a huge loophole. It was right in the law, and we would have had a pathway. It was a tricky way to achieve what they've always wanted. How does that make the system better? It makes it far worse than what it is today.
By the way, I had this confirmed by your colleagues, Rand Paul and Ted Cruz, and they specifically heard my name being singled out. We don't want this information getting over to people like Sean Hannity. And I'm thinking, well, it's not me that they really care about here. It's the fact that we're on 750 radio stations and that we're on Fox News. And what they really were saying is they didn't want the people to know the contents of this bill. And I don't know if you heard it as well, but I mean, that frustrates me because that tells me that they knew darn well the conservatives would not buy this if they understood what was in the bill.
Well, first of all, we don't need it. I never asked for a bill. I always, it kind of bothers me when I read, well, Republicans asked for a deal and then they rejected it. Well, I didn't ask for a bill. I said I want Biden to reverse all of the executive orders that he made, which created this crisis. That's what I wanted to see. And if he did that, then, we would move forward and pass this bill. And he didn't do that. But then they proposed the bill. And there are some things in there that, changing the asylum standard, good, we should do. That's not going to change this migration problem, but it's an important thing we should do. But we can't do that. And then the give is this asylum corps, which is going to be able to give people either asylum or an immediate work permit, not even the six-month wait that's going on now. And then, by the way, hundreds of millions of dollars to all these sanctuary cities to help them with the costs. They invited all these people into our country, and now they're crying about the cost that it's inflicting on their community. So they're taking money away from taxpayers' services to provide people with housing and the like. I don't know if you saw the crybaby mayor of Denver saying that the only people that were not to blame here were the migrants themselves. It's hypocrisy at this high. Why are we bailing out sanctuary cities?
We shouldn't be. Quick break, more with Florida Senator Marco Rubio as we continue. Your call's coming up, 800-941-SEAN, our number, as we continue this Monday.
Bad for America. CBS TV edits the news like nobody else. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, we continue. Florida Senator, now my Senator, Marco Rubio is with us. We'll get to your calls after this, 800-941-SEAN. Let me ask you about this. I mean, you saw the HER report, and I mean, it was as damning, I guess, as any report you can ever have, acknowledging that the president willfully retained classified top secret documents, which means he willfully broke the law. And then you see the double standard in terms of our justice system yet again. And that was frustrating to me. But more importantly, I mean, he laid out in great detail just how bad Joe Biden's cognitive state was on two separate occasions. He had no idea the years that he was vice president, and he couldn't become within years of remembering when his son Beau passed away. And I'm listening to the media and all of the Biden sycophants out there, outraged over the special counsel. My attitude is if they're that upset about it and they think it's mischaracterized, why don't we let the American people see the interview?
Yeah, well, I think that's important at this point. And I think, but here's the really interesting thing about it, okay? What the report basically said is a crime was committed. All the elements of a crime are here. And the only reason we're not going to prosecute it is because we don't think that a jury will convict a man who is clearly suffering from age-related dementia. Okay, but so in essence, he was not cleared. It basically just said, okay, so this is why we can't take this case to trial. And so you ask yourself one of two things. If in fact the president's argument now is, well, he doesn't have age-related dementia, what they're basically arguing is he should have been charged.
That's pretty much the case. And if you look at the Hillary case, they found all of those top secret classified documents on her server. And then she deleted 33,000 emails that were subpoenaed and used something we had never heard before called Bleach Bit, and then had age-destroying devices with hammers and removing SIM cards. Nothing happens. No reasonable prosecutor would prosecute. But then they raid Mar-a-Lago. And if you look at the boxes at Mar-a-Lago, and you look at HERS report and the pictures of Joe's top secret classified information, boy, those boxes look an awful lot alike. And it just, it shows to me just how bad this dual justice system really is.
But the other, there's a lot of hypocrisy embedded in this, right? Because they use prosecutorial discretion not to pursue the issue of Joe Biden because of the dementia issues that I've mentioned. But they chose to go after Donald Trump, even though there's no harm alleged. In essence, no one's alleging that somehow, you know, this stuff was provided to a foreign power. So there's no harm alleged. The only harm that they've caused is now the country's been deeply divided. You know, confidence in our judicial system's been undermined. You saw the boxes in Joe Biden's garage just thrown around, messy. You know, just those things were very vulnerable. For most of those years, he was a private citizen at that point. And I'm not excusing this. I don't think these documents should have been anywhere outside of where they should have been. But at least in Mar-a-Lago, they had like Secret Service agents, and they had locks on the doors, and they had cameras everywhere. Joe Biden, anybody could have stolen those things. Just walked into his garage and taken them.
Well, the FBI was in Mar-a-Lago. They saw the room the documents were in, and they didn't do a thing and called back days later and said, can you put another lock on the door? I mean, if they wanted it, they had free and open access to it previously. Why didn't they take it then? Senator Marco Rubio, as always, thank you, sir. Great to have you, and look forward to being a good constituent for the people of Florida.
All right. Sure you will be. I'm looking for it. I'm glad it's happening.
Yeah, me too. It's been fun. 800-941-SHAWN, our number, if you want to be a part of the program. You may not know a baby's heart begins beating at just 3 weeks. And by the way, this Valentine's week, you can share heartbeats. Anyway, here's the thing, and this is the mission of Preborn. They understand that abortion is a heart issue, and they have very cleverly come up with a way to show expecting moms the majesty, the beauty, the miracle that is birth. And any expecting mom will get a free 4D ultrasound. They use the science of 4D ultrasound. And expecting moms then get introduced to that miracle, and they hear a heartbeat, and then they see images, 4D images, that are pretty amazing. And in many cases, they can see facial features and count fingers and toes. And Linda, this science has been saving a lot of babies, women that were thinking about abortion. After they meet that miracle, they are not so inclined to think that way anymore.
It's very true. And I think Preborn is one of those places that's just saying, hey, you know, just give a little, give a lot, give whatever you can, but do something to help these young women who don't even know the other option. Let's show them that there is another way.
Let me put it this way. You can send a tax-deductible donation. Let me tell you how much it is. $5,000 would sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours. And that means free ultrasounds, counseling, women that give birth, that need help with diapers, baby formula, counseling, whatever. It's always available. There's two ways to donate, but that's how expensive all this is. And you could dial #250 on your cell, say the keyword baby, #250, keyword baby, or donate securely at their website, preborn.com/Sean, S-E-A-N, preborn.com/Sean.